Hey, this is Black Bart. And guess what? You're listening to Wolfie D, and old Black Bart is hanging in there with him.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits, and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Jimmy, got a good show today as always. I say that all the time, but we do, man. We really do, especially after you get your hands on it and edit everything and make it sound real nice. Black Bart, man.
I know.
Today, another hookup from our buddy Cahagas.
Man. We got to get him on the payroll, brother.
Don't say that too loud.
What I mean is after,
again, Jimmy.
Yeah, what I mean is after we're on the payroll, then
we'll get exactly. Some other
people. Yeah,
but yeah, Black Bart, man, this should be cool, man. I never met him. So
very cool. Yeah.
Looking forward to talking to him, man.
Oh, dude, I mean, we've watched him all our lives, right? I mean, this guy is just. That ornery cowboy. He always just reminded me of the cowboy in the Western that the hero would piss off, knock a drink on his shirt or something, or spill a drink on him. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And Black Bart, you ornery two-bit callywhacking whatever, you know?
Callywhacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Marcus Dupree last week. Great show there.
Yeah. I think that one surprised folks, man. I think that one, I don't think they were expecting that one. And I wasn't. Heck, we weren't, right? It was just kind of like a.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
I messaged him because I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And he messaged me back, and it was easy to do.
Dude, Marcus really is awesome. Man, I mean, a lot of people that have never sent us messages have sent messages on that one. So
That's good. Good.
Yeah, very cool. You know, but he was a cool dude, man. And, I mean, you got to know him and you know, and very, very cool to know somebody that is that, I don't know, like famous, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and it's different. You know, it's funny. I mean, because we've talked to different football players and I've known different people like that. But it's like just like Jason Fisher that I went to school with. He's envious of what I did. I'm envious of what they did. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like if you're not in it, you're a mark for the other.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, that's totally true.
I want to talk about, and I'm not going to knock. I'm not knocking. I'm not making fun. I'm probably going to get a heat for this. But it's just the difference in the generation, man, you know. And if you saw it, you saw it. Brother got on there, he got let go by WWE. And hey, it ain't no secret. When Jim Ross and Shawn Michaels came out to the car when me and Jamie said we was leaving, when we didn't want to, you know, do the job and all that, I cried right there. I cried, but I did not film it and didn't put it on the internet. Where was brother's friends, man? Hey, man, you may want to take you a day, man, to let this shit digest, man. Don't get on here crying. I mean, a pro wrestler, I get the passion. Believe me, like I said, I cried, but don't post it on the internet, man. To me, that just, I know this generation, people are going to say I'm an asshole for saying that. You know what I mean? But
right,
man, he's a wrestler, man.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think?
It's just this generation, man. They go to social media first because it's their friends, you know?
Right.
They think of these people as their friends. And it's just a generation thing, man. And you're right, dude. I mean, I've lost jobs that I cried on the way home, man, because I was like, I didn't know how good I had it, and now I've screwed it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'd understand, dude, if I lost my job at the WWE, I'd be crying too, because at the same time, you're like, man, I finally got where I wanted to go.
Right.
It is, you know? And that sucks, man. So I feel for him. And he's a North Carolina kid, you know, good for him. But man,
it'll probably help him, though.
It will. I mean, honestly, you'll grow.
If you'd have done that years ago, oh Lord.
Yeah, I know.
The ribs would be relentless, but it's different now, man. I can't even think of the kid. What'd you say his name was?
Cameron Grimes.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
My brain's not working good anymore.
Yeah. You know, Cameron Grimes, man, he I don't know that he ever fit to me. Like, his Southern accent with athletic style mixed in with, like, a rich gimmick or whatever they put on him. I don't know. I haven't watched NXT in forever, and I haven't really followed him. But, you know, so I don't know. Good luck to you, Cameron. We hope you do all right in the next step of your life in AEW or TNA probably. So, anyway. Yeah, don't sleep on TNA, man. But, you know, it's funny, bro. I heard you were talking. You said, what was it you said a minute ago?
About what? My brain?
Yeah, your brain, man.
Yes, my brain don't work. You know that.
So you like
people know that.
I don't want to pick on you, man. You know, but like, I mean, you are a former pro wrestler, right? Who took a lot of hazy days and chair shots, right?
right.
Yeah.
Where are you going with this?
Let me just tell you real quick about something, man. So. About 15 days ago, I had gotten something in the mail that I had ordered and kind of had forgotten about. Like, I was, you know, when you order something and you almost forget about it. And then when you finally get it, it's kind of like a new gift that you bought yourself, well, right?
It don't have to be something like that. I could walk into the kitchen and forgot why I went there. So get it. Go ahead.
Well, okay. I think this might be able to be something that can help you, man. This is something that I've been enjoying for the past 14 days, actually. So it's super cool, man. It's called Magic Mind. It is
Magic Mind.
Yeah. So I know it's not.
I know what Mega Mind is.
Yeah, not Mega Mind. But so it was something that I was trying out, right? Okay. Like, it was something that I was trying out. I didn't necessarily want to like blow it up to the world. But now that I've been on it for 2 weeks now, I tell you, man, I mean, honestly, like, here's the thing. It tastes good. That's the one thing. It's a little bitty shot. Little bitty green shot. Not that. This is a positive shot, not a negative shot. Right. Yeah. So what I like about it though is, so like normally I'll drink a whole pot of coffee, right, from the morning on. Yeah, I'll drink a whole pot of coffee, and then around afternoon while I'm working on the podcast, man, around that time I'm like, oh, I need a nap. And I'll be honest, I take my same cup of coffee in the morning, okay? But then after that, I'll drink the shot of Magic Mind, okay? And this is no BS, bro. I'm serious.
I'm listening.
Yeah, no BS.
You must believe it if you put it on the show.
Yes, exactly. So my wife will come downstairs and she'll be like, Michelle will say, why haven't you drank all this coffee? Normally you're already done with your pot of coffee. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't even notice that I didn't drink it. I took that shot of Magic Mind, and man, I tell you, like, so the first few days you want to keep going with it, right? So like every day you feel better with it. And I mean, I'm telling you, like, honestly,
you got to get in your system to start working really.
Yeah, really, exactly.
It's not an instant gratification as we're all used to.
I mean,
it's not an energy drink, right?
No. It's not. It is, but it's not. It's more like a mental performance shot, I think, is what it says. But I mean, seriously, this is literally so like, okay, what would you do if you could be more efficient while also having like an enjoyable day? Like, would you feel better about yourself?
Well, yeah, for sure. Where did you find this?
Okay, so I was reading about it online, looking for something that was different rather than the energy drinks I've been drinking and the coffee pots I've been emptying. But I tell you, like, there's so many distractions in the world today, from your phone to your TV to the news and all kinds of stuff. But honestly, like, I just need to be working on the podcast, and I need to be doing all the work for the reels and the shorts and the clips, and I don't have time to be distracted by that stuff. So the main thing is so many people relate high stress and high anxiety with a high performer, right? You don't have to be stressed out to be a high performer, you know, which honestly, all that stress and anxiety harms your mental and physical health.
Stress will kill you, man.
How many people have we known that have gone down, you know?
Yeah.
And so 5 years ago, they set out to create a drink that can consistently get you 100% performance without any of the down effects, man, of over-caffeination, anxiety. I mean, anxiety is something that kills me.
I don't want no jitters and no anxiety. I got enough of that. So,
exactly. So, like I said, you know, add it to your daily routine.
Well, like I said, you got to tell me if you believe in it this much, where did I find it?
Yeah, man. Okay. So, right now, you can go online to magicmind.com/liveandincolor. You have a limited offer that you can use right now that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with code liveandincolor20 at checkout. Just claim it at www.magicmind.com/liveandincolor. Now here, you don't even have to write all that down. Just go into the description. It's the very first line in our description. Click that link and you can go straight to magicmind.com and get your 20% off. 20% off one-time purchases, 48% off your first subscription. I recommend going with the subscription, and that's actually what I set you up with, Wolfie. So I checked the tracking on it. Later today, you'll be getting your first box of 15 shots of magic on the way right now to you. And I did it a few days ago as a surprise, and I want to have it. So you'll get it today. Next time we record, I want to hear about your journey with it.
Okay, so I'll try it out, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Of course.
You can't fade me the whole way.
I know, bro. So it's 100%
safe. You're learning from me, man. You're becoming a real worker.
Yeah, yeah. It's 100% safe. No quick fixes. Don't rest on energy drinks and more coffee and more coffee. It's not a coffee replacement. You do not have to replace your coffee. This is just something extra.
I'm looking up before it gets here and check out all the ingredients and all that kind of stuff, and like I guess since it's out there now, everybody else go check it out and see what you can do. We got the little subscription for you, got the code for you, and thanks Jimmy for hooking that up. And Jimmy, let's get Black Bart on here, man.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, folks. Again, you survived the commercial break and you get to level up to level 12 this time. That's what I'm going to give them this time is 12, Jimmy.
Okay.
And again, a very special guest coming on. Somebody that we're very, very excited to have on. The one, the only, the crazy man, Black Bart. How are you, sir?
Hey, I don't know. I don't know about crazy too often, but I get a little crazy every now and then. But I'm not as crazy as I used to be.
Not as crazy.
Yeah, not as crazy, but as not as crazy, but as crazy. I don't kick my heels up too much anymore. Don't party like I used to. All my rowdy friends has done rowdy on down, so to speak.
I hear you.
Mine definitely has, because it have to. More than three quarters of the guys that I work with are dead now.
Yeah, man, I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, I'm only 50, and I've lost quite a few of my friends too. So I understand that one big time, man. It seems like the wrestlers. I mean, someone like you that's still around, man. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Yeah. We die early.
Yeah, that's right. We die. Don't matter. You know, but and we, you know, I'm not saying that I did the drugs and did the alcohol. I stayed away from the one thing I did stay away from in my career was the steroids. I didn't do steroids that much, you know, and only done them when I was prescribed by a doctor. You know, you get a lot of that for your knees and your back and your neck and everything. And if you're a wrestler worth your salt, you got all at least one or two of those wrong with you. Something's wrong with your ankles or your knees, you know. So,
yeah.
But the pounding that we took, you know, on that road and in them rings, you know, the rings were great, but, you know, it still took a toll because we wrestled every night.
Yeah.
Two or three times on Friday, two or three times on Saturday, and two or three times on Sunday, you know, and we didn't bat an eye, you know, we didn't bat an eye. We wanted that.
For sure, man.
That's what we wanted to be booked. You know,
yeah, and now I don't know about you, and you say all the rings were good. Now I'm pretty sure that you've wrestled in some shitty rings before, because I Lord knows I have.
You know, that's something because of the place that was the most horrible rings that I've ever wrestled in my life was WWE.
Oh, WWE,
WWF, God, they were like wrestling on a concrete slab.
Yep.
But what happened, Vince McMahon was so mad, he was so scared, because when I was there, he was just going live TV.
Yeah.
And he had Andre the Giant, and he had Big John Studd.
Yeah.
He had the Earthquake. He had Tugboat, and all these guys were 420, 450, you know, and he was scared to death at the rings. That the ring was going to break. So he beat them suckers up, brother. And I mean, they were hard.
Yes, I was up there when Yoko and guys like that, and Mabel, Viscera, when all them guys was up there. I remember taking, you know, the first few bumps up there. I was like, my God. I thought I was back in Mexico.
Yeah, it just takes your breath away, brother. I'm telling you, it takes your breath away.
Absolutely, man.
Those dadgum training rings, you know. They wanted me to do the compactor, right? I've done the compactor one or two times, and they wanted you get a win, you want to stick your hands up in the air and holler, "Texas!" You know, I said, I couldn't stand up. I mean, I thought I broke my, you know, I could not, I tried to stand up, I couldn't stand up, brother. I rolled over to the apron and swung my legs off and put my feet on the floor, and they started tingling and got. You know, patted them back, got them, got tingling, got blood flowing back in them, and finally got up, made it back to the dressing room. JJ Dillon standing there in the dressing room, just chewing me out. I told him, JJ, I couldn't stand up, you stupid son of a gun. You, I wasn't being that nice either. I said, you need to do it. You don't, and I couldn't, you know. And
that move was a second rope leg drop, or?
Yeah. More if I think that first one I did up there, come off the top rope.
Oh,
yeah,
that's one move I've never even attempted, man.
I said, man, well, I didn't realize the ring was. I didn't realize it was that stiff. You know.
Yeah. And you're a big dude, man.
I was wrestling Lee Pete. He's one of the best jobbers in the that's ever come down the pike, brother. Uh-huh. Him and Lee Martin, they were two of the best.
Yeah.
And I asked him, you know, I'm working, and I'm saying, we're talking back and forth, and he ain't saying nothing bad about the ring, so I hit the finish, brother.
Yeah.
I hit the finish about done me in. It's been about ending my career. That's when it was, you know, I was going up there with a push, and Vince McMahon decided that he wouldn't go push me, but I was top hand, top pay. He just brought me up there to show me how much money I could have made when he wanted me to come up. Anyhow, you know, and I didn't. So, you remember when Ron Bass had the loser leave hair match with Beefcake?
Yeah.
Bass lost. Well, the next TV is supposed to be me and Sarah Joe, me and my wife, and they're going to put the Long Riders back together. JJ was going to be our manager, playing Push and Living, you know what, out of us. And I refused to go, but I did not know that all I knew that's going up there for a 3-day tryout. You know, and I'd been with Crockett over 20 years.
Right.
And I would have lost that job in the New York Minute. I was making good money with Crockett then too, you know.
I didn't go,
and Vince held it against me. He held it against me the whole from then on. He held it against me because I didn't just quit. I just didn't quit and come up there and let them see me and like that, like they haven't, you know, damn good and well, you know, damn good and well that they seen me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they had taps on everybody, everything they had taps on.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, yeah. Yeah, people would say that back in the day. Send them a tape. I ain't got to send no tape. They'd have seen me.
Hey, man. And who was that guy's name that had that charges that done that? Bald headed. Had a little hair on sides, pot belly.
In charge of what?
Oh. He was in charge of scouting talent.
Oh,
Howard Finkel. Yeah, he was in charge. He was in charge of that. That was his job to get the if it had any potential, they knew it. They knew.
And that was what in the was that in the '80s or was that more into the '90s?
Yeah, that was in the '90s, I think 1990, 1991.
Okay.
Yeah, 1990. Well, 88, 89, in that. I'm real terrible on time slots.
I got you. So my man Cahagas said that you love to be ribbed. Is there any truth to that?
Cahagas is he's a gutless wonder.
he said you get fired up pretty easy on these ribs.
And if I, you know, Tokyo is to me one of the best guys, that are wrestling now.
Yeah.
In the okay.
Yeah.
The bestest friends. If you can have a friend, he's my friend, brother.
Yeah. Nice guy, man.
Good. He is a good dude, man. All my love and prayers go out to him, brother. He is, you know, he's one of the hardest working son of a guns that I've ever met in my life.
Now, do you live in Florida now, or where are you at?
No, I live in Texas, brother. I live in God's country.
Yeah, God's country. Well, they say that's East Tennessee.
I love Tennessee too. That's Tennessee's mountain.
Yeah. You know,
going up the mountains. And down here it's flat. You see miles and miles of Texas.
Yeah.
Don't fall off no cliff. Well, you can if you get in the right area. But
are you down there helping them take care of that border? I mean, being Black Bart, I think you could run some folks off.
I'm keeping my butt off that border. I don't want border. People get down there, brother.
Yeah.
My hats off to them people, man.
For sure. My boy Jimmy's over here on the apron waiting for the hot tag to ask you some questions. So I'm going to do a little dive and roll, and I'm going to hot tag Jimmy. All right, Jimmy, it's time for the hot tag.
Hot tag him. I'm ready. Don't double team me.
Yeah, no double team. All right, hot tag. You're the heel, Bart. Don't you remember?
Yeah, not now. I'm not. Play my music now, brother. Play because they go nuts.
Yeah,
I'm the biggest face you ever seen in your life.
That's awesome.
I can't hardly walk. I can't walk. I can walk. I can walk around and still talk and walk. You know, and I can probably sell the right people like Mike Davis. I could have a match with Mike if he was still if old Mike was still alive. Me and him still be wrestling.
That's awesome.
We wrestle 15 minutes, never touch each other.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the best way.
Yeah,
Mike, I love him.
That's awesome. My first question: I did a little something in the business in Tennessee, and I was a manager. And two of the guys that I really stole a lot from was Gary Hart and this guy right here, who I think probably means quite a bit to you, Mr. Skandar Akbar. Can you tell me some stories about Skandar?
Skandar Akbar, brother. Skandar was stand up, brother. Old dude, and you didn't get many guys. Now you got to put the guys in the. When talking about the guys, you got to put them in order. Akbar was old school.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't sit in kayfabe. You respect, and if you didn't respect and keep your mouth shut, he would walk up to you and escort you out of the dressing room and say, "You're out here in the hallway. But if you keep running that head, you keep running mouth, we're gonna throw you out the hallway." And there's guys that kayfabe a little bit, but didn't have no respect. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Akbar was one of the guys that had nothing but respect and honor for the business, brother.
Yeah.
And I've got stories on Akbar, but
ones you don't want to tell us.
Well, it's not the brother. A lot of them I can't.
All due respect.
Almost 98% of the stories that I got about, and this is gonna make people want to, you know, there's stories in my new book about Akbar.
You got a book?
Yeah, I've got a new book.
Man, plug that for me.
And my book is called Wrestling Black Bart.
Yeah, I saw that.
Picture me in the middle. We wanted that picture to look like it was on a poster, on a wanted poster back in the 1800s, 1700s. Yeah. That's why it looks kind of weird. And I think it's great.
Where can the listeners find that book?
It's being sold on Amazon.
Okay.
It's being sold at Rassel.com.
Okay.
Rassel.com.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Very cool.
And
everybody go to Amazon and get that book for Bart.
Get the book, buy the book. If you buy, you know, you get some stuff that like stories about Akbar. There's one or two of him on him in there, and there's a lot more in there. There's a heck of a lot more in there on the Von Erichs. The Von Erichs are in them in my book. I think there's Hogan is in there. Ric Flair's in there. Bobby Eaton. Bobby. One of my bestest. Bobby Eaton was one of my bestest friends in the business, man. He was my pal. And when we lost Bobby, we lost a chunk of wrestling, brother. We'll never get back.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. And you know, he was a good man. I mean, everybody says that, but I mean, I know it firsthand. He lived when him and Donna split up for a little while. He lived with a friend of mine. We all lived in the same apartment complex. And man, he was so good to them kids and me and just everybody he comes in contact with. He was just a great person, man. I miss Bobby. And of course, he was my tag team partner, Jamie Dundee. That's he married Bobby married Jamie's sister.
Married his sister, right?
Yep, Donna. Yep.
Yeah, married his sister. Yeah.
Yep. And Bobby's just a great dude, man. People don't know, man. And I never got to wrestle Bobby, but I'm sure you did. I mean, just everybody always talks about just.
I never got to wrestle. I wrestled with him.
Oh, really?
I always wanted to wrestle. I wanted to wrestle against him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What a match. What a match. The matches they had, the scaffold matches done them in, though, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, they broke both of what Jim Cornette's, both of Cornette's legs at the same time.
Yeah.
He was stretched out holding on and still way up there, man. The only match that I never done was a scaffold match, and I would never think I could either.
I'm scared of heights, man.
was that a Bill Dundee creation, though? Did he bring that to? Was that his idea that he brought to Watts, and then Crockett's took it? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, I believe. That Dundee. Yeah, it was Dundee's idea, and they took it into. They took it into Crockett Promotions.
Mm, yeah,
that thing was way up there.
Yeah,
it's high. You know, I said, man, there's no way. And Crockett had good rings. They had excellent bumping rings. They had excellent bumping rings.
And I
wouldn't do it. I still wouldn't do it. I could take a flat back bump and damn near come to my feet off that bump. I was 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And I believe if I had tried, I could have done it, but I didn't want to do no nip up. I had everything else that was killing me, and I wish I hadn't have done. And the compactor done, you know, it really done me in because of the pounding on the spine, the pounding, hitting them dead gum hard ass. Or I think I've done it on the floor three times, probably 100 times,
oof,
200 times. <I'm telling> through tables on floors, you know.
Yeah.
Back in the Florida, back when I was in Florida, brother, there was nothing. It was Katie barred the door back then, man.
Yeah. me and Jimmy were talking about this, and maybe you might know the history of it. We were talking about the history of the scaffold match. So the first time that I recall seeing anyone put through a table was, what year was that, Jimmy? We talked about it. When Randy Savage piledrived Ricky Morton in Memphis through the table.
82,
something like that. Yeah. Do you recall Bart ever seeing anybody use tables before that?
Well, brother, We used them out in Florida like they was hotcakes.
Really?
but that was in 83, I think. 83 we started using them out there. So maybe you may have a deal there, because I don't recall, because in my younger days in my career, and I was Rick Harris and Cowboy Rick Harris, Hangman Rick Harris, if you done stuff that wasn't planned, you got fired.
Right.
You didn't go out there and we went out there and ad lib, but we didn't ad out on the floor. You was told to stay in the ring.
Yeah.
If you got the ring and you weren't supposed to get out the ring, you was fired, son of a gun. And nowadays the high flying stuff ain't kicked in quite. But it was commencing to kick in. Uh-huh. Did you do the worm?
No, that was Lawler's son and Scotty.
Scotty, yeah. Scotty too.
They did copy our gimmick though.
Because they didn't copy your gimmick, they stole it.
Damn right they did.
Yeah, they stole the damn thing. Because I'm thinking little. I said that's the guy that you. I'm trying in my head. I'm trying to put it all together.
So, yeah.
And Brett said he was a manager for a little while, but I'll get it straight. Maybe we weren't. I was thinking about the other dude that done the worm.
Yeah, he stole it from us, man. We were the ones that had the hubcaps in Memphis, and we also came to the ring with Farouk and rapped for him in the Nation of Domination. So
But
somebody I want to ask you about. It's been kind of in the news lately. And I think you knew it. You knew Billy Jack Haynes pretty good.
I knew him. I knew him well enough. I fought him about 200 or 300 times. I knew him in the ring.
Man, so I met him in Memphis. He came in around 95 or something like that. And I just remember thinking to myself, man, this dude ain't right. You know, anybody that looks like him and laughs like that, I'm just this dude's wild, man. And then so now he's in the news shooting his wife, man. What about all that?
I don't know. I watch a lot of news. I ain't seen it yet.
Really? I know they stopped talking about it real quick, but it was definitely.
I mean, it was like, I heard it, and then you didn't hear no more about it.
Bam. Right.
And it was
wow.
The thing about it, you know, he beat the living piss out of you, whether you like it or not.
Oh yeah.
and he was later in his career. I guess he was okay, but brother, early in his career, he thought it was a real fight. He thought it was, you know, and he beat your brains out. And we smartened him up.
One of my favorite matches was him and Hercules Hernandez at WrestleMania 3. You remember that?
Oh, man.
That was a great match.
Stiff. Stiff. God. Hercules could work, though.
Yeah.
That's different. Hercules worked, but you piss Hercules off, he'd knock you out.
He was one of my favorites.
Yeah, good guy. Herc was a good guy, man. Good guy. Billy Jack Haynes was a good guy, but brother, you piss him off, he's gonna whoop your ass. Him and Yellow Dog, him and the dude the rest of Yellow Dog, Barry Windham.
Yeah.
Was in a fist fight in the dressing room in Florida. Mm-hmm. At the Sportatorium in Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the same history as the Sportatorium in Dallas.
Gotcha.
But different territory.
Right.
We're gonna pull him off. I said, well, Mulligan will be here in a minute. Mulligan pull him off. Well, Mulligan got there and Mulligan didn't say nothing, and he was still beating the piss out of his son. And Mulligan just said, well, they'll work it out. They worked it out, all right.
Any idea what they was fighting about?
No, and nobody would ask neither. Nobody would ask. They didn't want Haynes to whoop that ass. They didn't want that ass whooped, brother.
What's the best fight you ever seen between two guys in the business?
The best fight?
Yeah,
I watched a fight. We jumped the red eye and went up to, I was working for Crockett.
Yeah.
Frank Brody against, Frank Brody was beating now I ain't going to be able to call his name. Oh, man, I can't call the other guy's name. I forgot the other guy's name. Ain't that, old age is hell, brother.
It's all right.
I was fighting in the dressing room, in the office in the dressing room.
Uh-huh.
But it was Crockett. It was about called his name. He was brother of Ole Anderson and Gene Anderson.
Arn?
Not Arn.
Lars.
Hell no.
Lars.
That's it. Lars Anderson. They had a hell of a heat thing going, brother Frank opening can of whoop ass on him, brother. Frank's gonna kill him. We Frank off of him, but we're watching through, like he's a coach. Remember old high school days? The coaches had the big glass and you could see in the coach's office. Well, that's what you could see in there. They were pow 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 pow. Boy, they were going, man. Me and Frank used to have some pretty good not real fights, but trying to knock each other out as real. Oh yeah, trying to beat the living piss out of each other, trying to knock each other out as a real now. Right. Go back to the dressing room. I'd get my case of beer, go in there. We'd get off in a corner. He'd be sitting there smoking on one of them damn wacky tobacco cigarettes, and I'd be sitting there smoking my beer, and that sap sucker, you know, would sit there and laugh about, oh, I almost knocked your ass out that one. No, Frank, dude. And then I almost knocked you out with my branding iron right in the beginning of the damn thing. And, you know, he would laugh and laugh and laugh, brother. I mean, silly stuff, you know. We was at the Sportatorium, he was wrestling with Red River Jack. I was wrestling with Black Bart. We fought out into that damn parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wallered out there in the dirt. No fans could come out there. I said, Frank, why are we wallering around out here? And he started getting so pleased. Right there by Trinity River, you know, and that sport broken down. I said, the fans can't even get out the building.
He didn't even follow.
The guards blocked the fans from coming out the building. And here we are, out there just fighting our asses off. And I said, Frank, slamming into cars, and everyone, these cars has got a dent in them, we're screwed, you know.
That's hilarious.
You may be right, Bart. I said, I may be right. You may be right, dude. Let's get our back in. At least go back in front of the crowd, you know.
Yeah, that's hilarious, man.
Unbelievable, that's man. Good.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Saturday, May the 11th, 2024, the biggest pro wrestling event in Columbia, Tennessee's history, Muletown Mania Fan Fest. Over 50 wrestlers from the past and present going to be there for the meet and greet from 2:30 to 5:30. Also that night, TriStar Wrestling has a huge card already signed. Doors open at 6 for that. Bell time will be 7 p.m. You're not going to want to miss it. A huge card already signed. Also, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling will be in the house that night doing a Q&A with the Devils, the Wild Boys, and the Mortons from 4:30 to 5:30. Also, you have Kayfabe Cave there, your toy collectibles and wrestling memorabilia dealers. They're going to be in the house. Also, we've got the Devil's Disciples, Mephisto and Dante will be there. The Wild Boys, Ben Jordan and Steve Neely. The Monster, Forsaken. The Fox, Tony Falk and LT Falk. The Morton Brothers, Steve and Shane Morton. The Smoking Buds, Cody and David Morton. Jerry Lynn and Virginia Morton. Hot Rod Biggs. Jeff the Crippler Daniels and Dominique will be there. Debbie Combs, Lady Superstar. Sunny Street will be in the house. Luscious Quentin Charisma. One Half of Booty Call, Brian Turner. Mad Max. Cowboy Billy Montana, Scott Spade and Mistress Misery, Superstar Mikey Dunn, DBSG, Johnny Bandana and Ryder Anderson, The New Era, Tavon Jordan, D'Amico Graves, The One and Only, Majestic, Mr. Entertainment, Yukon Jack, Yours Truly, Pat Dooley, DJ R, Danny Pig, The Voice, Kane D, Pretty Boy, Preston Adams, plus many, many more. The meet and greet will be $15 if you buy your ticket in advance, $20 at the door. TriStar Wrestling that night, $10 if you buy your ticket in advance, $12 if you buy it at the door. This is a huge night, Saturday night, May 11th, 2024, in Columbia, Tennessee at the National Guard Armory at 844 North James Campbell Boulevard. It's going to be the place to be for the best wrestling action around. Come and meet some of your local stars, some of your favorite people, some of your least favorite people from your past and present. This is going to be an opportunity that you're not going to want to miss. This is going to be well worth the price of admission alone just for the meet and greet. And then TriStar Wrestling that night. Biggest wrestling event ever signed in Columbia, Tennessee.
So one of the things that I got to talk about, and I was just, you know, on YouTube last night doing my research, and I found these three old Wiley Cowboys walking around looking for Stan Hansen. It was you, Dutch, and Moondog Rex. And if ever I ever wanted for a real Western to come out of wrestling, I wanted that to be a five-part movie.
Brother,
seriously.
That was done. We bought the Crockett Promotions bought that ghost town in the sky
for two days.
It was 150 grand they spent on that just renting the town for us.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was supposed to be aired on TBS.
Yeah.
Then off TBS for 90 on TBS for 90 minutes, which it was.
Yeah,
it was. And then it was supposed to be sold to Fox Network. And this when Fox Network was just starting out. This just when they were Fox Network was just starting out.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be a sitcom. Well, it goes. We got to 90 minutes and all that stuff, and my good friend Ric Flair called Ted Turner. And said, you know, this is what he said, you give those three jabronis all that TV time. And we weren't three jabronis. We were three well-known.
I don't know.
But anyway, that's what Flair's, you know, and I, me and Flair was good friends.
Yeah.
And yeah. It got nipped in the bud. Moondog didn't sign his contract. Randy didn't sign his contract. I signed my contract, but it didn't mean nothing because I didn't have the original. It was gone.
Yeah.
It was gone. And it being sold, it was gone because Ted Turner cut it.
Stop man. It. Man.
Yeah, and me and Rick has talked recent about that, and I forgive him, kissed him on his old ball head, and you know we did, you know, and I didn't hold it against him. I forgive him years and years ago, but it's still in my mind, you know, happened if that went through.
Yeah, you never know. And it was hilarious. Yeah. And first of all, you said dad gum so many times. It was hilarious. And I heard you say dad gum earlier. And I was like, I got to bring that up. And then when you're trying to shoot you're trying to teach Dead Eye Dick to shoot, and you're like, come on, we can learn him. We can learn him.
We can learn him.
Yeah, saying, we can't teach him nothing. Yeah. He can't learn. We can learn him.
Beat each other up with our hats.
It definitely had a Three Stooges element.
Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, that was great.
That's still on there. I don't believe that.
Yeah. And was that off the cuff stuff, or was that scripted, or?
No, brother. Dusty was like the promoter, I don't know the terminology, but he was like, he was there saying, you know, tweet this and tweet that, you know, just giving us, you know, and we were pretty much in script. We was in script, but we was doing a lot of ad libbing.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. That reminds me of Tommy Rich. He used to do that all the time in the back in the car.
I mean, Dutch, please stop. Yeah, stop doing the cootie woo. Brother got locked up and was looking for him. Was looking for Randy. Randy Collins. That's who was looking for Dead Eye Dick, and he got locked up. Then we all got locked up.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do? We're going to mess TBS. What are we going to do?
We're not going to make it to WCW.
We're not going to make it to WCW.
And did Stan Hansen just say, screw it, I don't want nothing to do with that storyline? What was the deal with that? Or was that just a rib on Stan?
No, it wasn't a rib. They wanted Stan Hansen, but if they got him, they got him. If they didn't, they didn't. Pretty much Stan Hansen said, screw that. I don't want no part of it. More especially when Ric Flair's voice started coming up. You know, he didn't want to. Nothing to buck the system. Nothing to. Everything was candy coated. We kissed Ric Flair's ass. You know, everybody, you know, every territory that you had to, Jerry Lawler, you had to, Tennessee, you had to kiss his ass, you know. every territory, that's the way it was, brother.
You had to
kiss somebody's ass, and if you crossed them, you got fired. And that's pretty much what happened, except we didn't cross nobody. We was just doing what we was asked to be done.
Right.
And Flair sees it and hit the roof because we was giving away all that TV time to them three jabronis, you know.
Yeah. It was awesome. I thought it was great. And, you know, the funny thing is if y'all would have got with Stan, would y'all have been the four actual horsemen? Because you would.
That's something.
Or y'all could have maybe rode the horsemen since y'all were the cowboys. That could have been a goal. I don't know.
I guess something. Maybe we could. That would have been a good one. The goat riding goats. That would have been damn.
That would have been funny. Yes. That's a Magnificent Seven music coming up.
The pan back on the camera, and we're all riding goats.
Yeah.
I rode a jackass around the ring.
No, I didn't know about that one.
Reunion Arena, Scott Casey.
Yeah.
The loser had to ride a jackass all the way around the ring. The outside of the ring. Yeah. I lost.
That's funny. Oh man. Yeah. Humps.
There you go. I got on that guy. And he was going kind of nuts. And I told the guy, I said, I tell you what, buddy. I said, you hang on. And I made him hold on to the ring to walk me actually around the ring. I didn't ride the donkey. He walked me around the ring because the donkey was going, I mean, sold out. It sold out dadgum Reunion Arena.
Yeah.
And that's a big ass build. That's a big ass building. Back then it was big ass. But I told him, I said, you better hold on, buddy, because if he hurts anybody, it's your animal, not mine.
Yeah.
And then you gonna get all the lawsuits, not me.
Yeah.
Oh hell. Boy, he grabbed a hold then.
He grabbed a hole.
I'd like to ask you about since I'm a Memphis guy. That's where I got my break. The Jarretts, both.
I don't hold that again.
Well, they gave me my break, man, and they've always been good to me. So I got to ask you, what did you think about your time in Memphis? Because I was I didn't get my break until '93, and I think you were there late '80s or whatever. But what about your time in Memphis, and what did you think?
My time in Memphis, brother, was, and don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Memphis. We had an apartment there in, well, I guess where all the guys stayed or something anyway. But it was me and my wife and my little girl. The Undertaker lived with us. Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl lived with us, and Dustin Rhodes lived with us in a 2-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
And we pretty much
crammed
starving to death. Every one of them guys that I just named become big time.
Right.
Become big time wrestlers in their own right. You know.
In their own right.
You know, Goldust. Undertaker, but he was doing the monster gimmick. He was Jerry Lawler would draw the monster and have the mask made, and brother would wear it. He would become that monster for a month or two, and then go away in another monster. I don't know. And
Lawler loved the monsters.
Yeah, me and Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl went back to Florida and did pretty good down there. Not real good, but did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, I talk to Tony at least once a week. He and I talk quite a bit, man. If you want, talk about Tony, man. What a cool dude.
Tony was, man. We were very, very. We rode everywhere together. We done everything together. The only thing we missed, if we could have had Grappler.
Oh yeah, Lynn.
And Lynn didn't throw it in the mix. But that's the only one we missed. We done some crazy stuff. One story that sticks out with me and Tony was this: me and him was in my truck,
uh-huh.
a single cab pickup truck, but it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going into Knoxville. I think we was leaving Memphis, going into Knoxville,
uh-huh.
which is a pretty good trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
about 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, we get up there, and we're going into Knoxville, brother. And I've got Texas plates on my truck, and this dude comes up beside Tony on driver's side, and he does the hook 'em horn sign, you know, down.
Uh huh.
That's fighting words, brother. To me. And Tony knows it. You know, that's not good. Well, Tony starts sending back other signals. You understand what I'm saying? The guy backs off, and then he comes back up on us, and he's holding a Uzi.
What?
I said, he's holding a Uzi.
No, I heard
and
you.
I said, and I just slammed on the brakes and just swerved, brother, and there was an exit right there and hit that exit. How we didn't get T-boned, I don't know.
Oh, my brother, God.
Off, and I said, man. And it looked real.
You know, back then
they had toys that looked like real ones.
Yeah,
but I thought we were both gonna get, we was fixing to get shot, you know.
Oh,
we was fixing to get shot, you know.
I know Tony's always packing. I'm surprised he didn't pull out something.
He wouldn't back then.
Oh, back really?
Back then, if you got caught with one, you was in big trouble.
Oh.
So he may carry one in his bag that I never knew about.
We carry,
I always had knives. I sharpened people's knives. I sharpened Dusty's knife, Rick Flair's knife, sharpened everybody's knife.
Yeah.
I'd go back in the dressing room, get me a little spot out, out away from everything, like my own little dressing area.
Right.
And I sit back there and guys would bring me their knives and I'd sharpen their knives. I figured Tony for a knife is where I'm going. I'm going with that. Tony was, and they were diet. I never did the diet stuff, but Tony and White Girl were every Friday they cook spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
They take salt, put a little mozzarella on it, and eat it, and of course butter.
Yeah.
And I said butter, salt, and cheese. And y'all on diet. Right? And I mean, they would dump that dead gum mozzarella and don't touch that pot. Why? Oh, that's my spaghetti. Don't touch that pot. Well, I'm just going to move it. Don't touch it.
That's so funny because he's always talking to me about cooking. And
yeah, I said, Tony. Yeah, but no, you didn't touch it. You didn't go in there. He really didn't want you in the kitchen at all on the day that they had spaghetti. That's what are we supposed to run down to the McDonald's, and have that shit to eat all the time on the road? What the hell's up with that, Tony?
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah, because he's always talking about cooking and how he makes it, and when he's telling me about it, I mean, he's just so into it and emotional about it.
He is, brother. He always was. They couldn't ever get nobody cook a meal around that place. My old lady get cook a meal and they'd be gone before it hit the table.
It'd
be gone. And feeding dust the road, brother. Of course, we all kicked in for the everybody kicked in for the meals and the rent and everything. I enjoyed the territory. Told Lawler when I went in there, he asked me would I come in there and help, but I was coming in hot off TBS. I was beating shit out of everybody on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, listen, Jerry, I said, brother, I don't mind coming in work for, but I hear that you give notices just out of the blue. You don't give them 2 week notice or 3 week notice.
Yeah.
I said, I want you to promise me one thing. I want you to give me a 2 week notice.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's asking too much. I said, you give me a 2 week notice. Well, we was in Memphis wrestling, and that's where we got our paychecks is in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the Coliseum or the big ass Coliseum where we always got our paycheck.
Yeah, usually. Well, when I was there, it was usually I believe it was Wednesdays that we got it, but Tuesdays in Louisville because we'd always cash our checks down at the liquor store. So that's how I know that.
Yeah. Well, that's anyway. Anyhow, I opened my check and there's my notice. I got not even a day notice. Mm. And back then there's a few other territories.
Places
back
to go. Yeah.
Yeah. You can pick the phone up and say, hey, I'll be there in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or I'll be there. If you want to take 2 weeks, I'll be in there in a month.
Yeah.
And you set your bookings and that's the way we done it. That's right. How we made our living, and brother, I chased Jerry Lawler all over that building. I was gonna kill him, brother. And I said that because he lied. Dead. I hate somebody lie to me.
Right.
He's gone. He was gone. He left. He knew that because I told him. I said, you do me like that, I'm gonna whoop your ass. He knew. He knew that. But I didn't find him. That's another one. I really ain't talked to him, but
Yeah.
28th, we're going to wind up at a signing together. You know, we'll do the signing
now. Yeah, yeah.
28th, we're going to wind up. He's going to be sitting there, and he's still going to have to talk to old Black Bart.
So you're still looking for Stan Hansen and Jerry Lawler right now.
Yeah,
so.
Still looking for Stan Hansen and Jerry Lawler.
I can tell you where Lawler will be on May the 11th.
I can damn near tell you where I'm probably going to talk to we have a thing called a shootout here.
Yeah.
We have a deal called a shootout. It's a Red Bastien shootout. Huh. Supposed to be nothing but the boys. Supposed to be nothing but the boys. It's at, I'm trying to, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but it's at a bar restaurant thing.
Uh-huh.
over in Dallas. And, I'll see Stan there. Probably Stan will be at that thing.
We'll look it up and we'll plug that for you on here. We'll look it up.
It's a shootout. It's a Texas shootout.
So one other question I'd like to ask you, I know we're kind of running low on time here. I don't want to keep you all day, but, you've been around the Von Erichs, obviously, have you seen the movie, the movie that come out, The Iron Claw?
No, I'm not going to see the movie.
Okay.
Listen to me, brother, if anybody should have been represented in that movie, it should have been Black Bart.
Yeah. Amen.
Now when I started my career, I went to Fritz and asked him, could I go to work for him? And he said, no, you got to go out on the road and make a name for yourself. Then you come back here and you work here. You work in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So I went out and I went to the Carolinas and I did job after job after job after job after job for 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I even got thought about being pushed.
Right.
When I got pushed. I was getting over, and I done it. And I come back and I said, okay, Fritz. And they dropped that belt on my bag because the English dude is Chris Adams is getting deported on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the hottest thing they got because off TBS.
Right.
Okay. So George Scott drops the belt. You're my champ. And I had worked, I'd known George, and George known the guy that trained me. Matter of fact, the guy that trained me trained George. I'm probably messing a lot of people up. But anyway, when the deal is, he made me do a lot of crap to come back and put the belt on me. But I was doing him a favor because I was over.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not making no sense, but in the end,
no, I get it.
It's like this, you know, you son of a gun, you don't even put me in their movie.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get at, they think enough of me to put the belt on me and save their stinking ass territory.
Uh-huh.
Or try to save their territory. Right. But
right.
They don't think enough of me to put me in the movie.
Yeah,
I'm in the main event. I'm in the main event at Texas Stadium, but they don't think enough of me to put me in their stinking ass movie.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem with that is Kevin had nothing to do with the movie either. Basically, they came to him after the movie and said, hey, it's done. Hope you like it. And they didn't even talk to him about it before that. Now, I'm not taking up for your situation. Black Bart should have absolutely been in there. I should have been in it as Gary Hart. We should have done a whole bunch of things.
Well, there you go.
You know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying, brother.
You deserve exactly to be in it for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. You definitely did.
They didn't even talk to me about it. You know, I had one of my students was supposed to play Frank Brody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they wound up. See, I was told that Kevin had one of his buddies come in and take that part from my buddy. I was told that Kevin had everything to do with that movie, brother.
I didn't. Okay. Well, that's yeah. news. And I believe you, yeah. you know what I'm saying? I guess, you know.
I don't know the people that told me this, I haven't known for very long, but he had everything to do with that movie from the get go.
Well, you know, we've had people tell us this on the air over in yeah. front of thousands of people. You know,
yeah.
they may not want to say that, but now you're saying it. So I believe you. Yeah.
I don't, I, well, no, I don't, I ain't candy coat. I'm done candy coating, brother. don't candy coat no more. And whoever don't like it can kiss my ass. and even what the hell? I would want to have my finger on the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's my family movie.
That should be nothing bad. I don't think it should be nothing bad. In my opinion, it shouldn't. Everybody to go out and buy my book.
Absolutely.
Don't get half of them. Get all bullet.
Thank you for coming on here.
Thank you so much.
Had some great stories and enjoyed talking to you, man. You're a funny dude.
I appreciate it. I thank the good Lord. I thank the good Lord for letting me live this long and letting me be around this long to keep promoting and keep going and. And I want everybody to buy my book and read my book and it's at rationalville.com and Amazon.
We will definitely plug the heck out of it for you, man.
Yeah, I'm going to buy one right now. So I just want to thank you because you literally, I've watched you through so many different promotions, you know, as my fandom of wrestling, you know, you've always been very, very, very consistent and I've hated you many times, but in the way that you wanted us to, you know what I mean?
I did my job, brother.
Yes, sir. And I thank you for that. It's been an honor to
Get the book. It reminds me of Bart. You remember Spaceman Frank? Was it Higgy? Spaceman Frank Higgy. You remember that name?
Rings a bell. Yeah.
Yeah. He was old in the 90s. I mean, wheelchair old. I forget. He died in the 90s, but he had written a book and they brought him back into Memphis. Bless his heart. He couldn't hardly get in the ring. He's in a wheelchair, all this mess. And that he had a book and that's what he was going around to all the boys. Have you seen the book? So that was just like it was like a thing from then on. We'd all just walk up to each other.
You seen the book?
So everybody go out and get Black Bart's book for sure. I'm guarantee that's going to be a good one. Now, who helped you write it? Did you do it by yourself or what?
No, heck no, I didn't do it. Vinny Berry helped me write. Vinny Berry, I got to say his name. Vinny Berry helped me write that book.
The tongue twister.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him, brother, it would have never got writ. Trust me.
That's awesome.
Well, cool, man.
He turned into Black Bart. I read, I can't see real good.
Yeah.
The magnifying glasses don't help no more. But what I have read of the book, it's like he was right there.
Yeah.
When it happened, it was like he was in my front pocket, you know.
That's awesome.
And a heck of a nice dude, man.
That's awesome.
Berry.
Yeah.
I love him to death.
That's awesome. They're really awesome.
And he's the
again
one got the rationalville.com.
Rationalville.com. Okay.
He's got two or three other books that he sells on there too. What's the Von Erich? What's the Lance? Yeah, Lance by Chance. Lance Von Erich book.
Very cool.
That one there. He's got two others. There's two other books on there that sells. There's just stories. Guys telling stories all through the book.
That's awesome.
A bunch of
love the old stories, man. I can't get enough of them. That's why I always gravitated to the older guys in the business when I was in it. I didn't hang around as many people that were at my age. I always gravitated to the veterans. And
There you go, brother.
Anyway, thank you so, so much again for coming on and giving us your time, man. And we want to thank Haggis, too, for hooking this up for us. Anyway, man, have a great rest of your day. And, Jimmy, we're going to come back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. Thank you, Bart. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Y'all take care, sir.
All right. DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And you know, Wolfie, Black Bart is awesome, dude.
That he's guy. Hilarious, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to be that funny.
No, me either. Me either, man. Like, I'm serious. I've seen shoot interviews of his over the years, and he's pretty wild, you know, sometimes. Yeah, yeah. But, dude, I'm serious. That guy was great, man.
He's cracking me up, man.
So one little thing that on our YouTube channel recently on our, you know, we just dropped a clip of talking about if Bunkhouse Buck was Colonel Parker's rip from Yellowstone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So on that clip, there is a comment, right? And it's from at AESTEDIA, Estedia. And it says, "This is Brian Lee, your old tag partner from TNA, and I hope you're doing okay." And
really?
Yeah, that's dude. So, yeah, man. I mean, it is definitely like maybe his kids' channel, because it is a bunch of video game and like video game and anime looking stuff or something. I mean, I'm not familiar, but dude, I'm like, Brian, is it really you?
Pops up every now and then. I mean, forever.
You got six more weeks of winter without Brian.
Exactly.
I just thought that was crazy, man.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. So, well, we got some questions here, of course, because we got to Ask Wolfie going. But so this one is from at I Am Sarcy on YouTube. It says, perhaps an obvious one to start with, but what got you into wrestling? And then were there any matches you wish you had been booked during your TNA tenure?
So what got me in it was my stepdad. Like I've said this before, I don't think I knew that wrestling existed before about 8 years old. And he was a big fan, and I started watching it, and I just immediately fell in love with it. And, you know, I mean, when I say fell in love with it, I was a huge wrestling addict.
Yeah.
And and then in TNA, I just would have liked I don't think there was anything. I mean, because I've worked with just about everybody. I would have just liked some more. You know, there was a storyline with the America's Most Wanted and Raven, but I just would have liked more consistency, man, with them. And a longer run, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it was through those first 4 years, man, it was like, okay, we'd be off TV maybe looking for another partner or something. And it seemed like 6 months I'd be off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be back. And, you know, it just wasn't real consistent. But then there were a few times where it was, you know, like I said, with America's Most Wanted, and then with Raven and the ECW guys. And, you know, so it was good. I would have obviously like to be in I guess that's everybody, you know, who doesn't want more. We want more of everything, you know.
Right Exactly.
Of course, I'd like to make more money.
Of course. I mean, and that kind of comes with more opportunities, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I mean, that and again
me not being the big politician, man, I wasn't pitching stuff. I only pitched a few things. I pitched the thing where I came out and did the interview and held Jeremy Borash at knife point. I pitched that. Just little shit like that I'd throw out, but not like big sustain. Hey, put me with this guy and let's do this. And, you know, I don't know. Like I said, maybe that's a downfall of mine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it does, man. You know? All right. This next one is from at the normal unstable. It says, who was your favorite member of the TNA roster to work with?
To work with,
yeah, like in a match, let's say.
Oh man, these questions are hard.
They're bringing it.
I mean, shit, man, there was a lot of talent right there. I liked working with almost all of them. You know, I'm out there with Elix and David Young and Chris and James Storm. Perry Sider, New Jack, Sandman. I mean, just this great Raven. It's great working with all those guys, man. I can't say that I actually had somebody's like, man, you know, I worked with AJ and Jerry Lynn there. For, you know, that was only one match. match, but fuck, man, I've been in there with just about everybody that could fucking go at that time, you know. There, of course, you know, there was no Dudleys then. There wasn't Hulk Hogan and Kurt Angle and, you know, some of those. There was Road Dogg. There was Mr. Perfect. There was, you know, God, man, it's hard to say. I really don't. And this ain't a cop-out answer. I don't think I have a favorite, man.
Okay.
My favorite matches now were with Chris Harris and James Storm, America's Most Wanted. But I wouldn't say they're my favorite to work with, and that's not a knock. That's just saying, I mean, I enjoyed working with pretty much anybody. There's only a few people that I didn't like working with, I'd say. I'll leave that at that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
some of it's based on talent that I don't think was there. And then some of it's based on just their personality in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes total sense, man. I think that, you know, there were just
hard to work with too. Like, and I don't mean like, I just mean want to change shit or just, you know, almost some dudes you get back there, you're like, you go over stuff and it's like, why would you want to change that? There's nothing wrong with what we got right here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because
yeah.
It wasn't their idea, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and sometimes it being there, it's such an ego-driven business, right? That if it's not somebody's idea, then they don't even care about it, you know?
Or don't listen to you because whatever.
Right, right, yeah.
But I'm not saying that happened all the time, just a few times.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for that question. And the next one we've got is at RockstarPool69, and he says, would you have liked to see JC Ice in the New Church or in TNA in general with you at the same time?
No, I mean, he would have been a New Church guy for sure.
Right.
He would have fit that bill. But he did work there a couple of times. I think, I can't remember if it was dark matches or not, but after he got out of jail or whatever, then he wanted to try to be JD Dundee, the convict, and wore a damn prisoner outfit to the ring and some handcuffs, I think.
Yeah, because he was toying with that convict.
Yeah. Like,
I know he worked some of that on the Outlaws too.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a timely gimmick for him.
Right. But I mean, yeah. It's been done. It wasn't nothing original about it, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, we've heard that one before. Yeah, but I don't know.
I wouldn't want to see him succeed somewhere. I'm not saying that at all, but he wouldn't have fit with the New Church, that's for sure.
No, definitely not in the New Church, but it could have been like if you were given a higher profile singles role, right? Yeah. It could have been cool to see something like him and Brian Lee, you know, like Brian Lee, almost to where like it could have been someone from Brian's past, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And Jamie could be like, hey, Brian, you remember, you know, like, and almost tongue in cheek, and it may have gotten too cheesy, right? But almost to where like you're questioning where Brian's alliances were. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's this guy got over Brian? You know, what's he know about Brian? This guy's a convict. What's Brian, you know? But that wouldn't have made sense for your character to think that stuff. You'd be like, yeah, I'll kill both of them, you know? Like, but does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
I mean, I don't know. But seeing Jamie and Brian Lee, you know, and then everybody would be like, okay, well, I know this is Wolfie's old partner, but this is interesting how they're doing this. I don't know. Maybe I'm just spitting the wind. Yeah. But
I can't have him. Nobody can, Angle.
Yeah. Damn it.
Crazy girlfriends.
exactly.
Well, that's brother, my Wolfie.
That's all we got for today, Wolfie D. And you know, we definitely appreciate the listeners for listening and for them asking questions and you answering them. So definitely appreciate
it. For sure, man.
Yeah.
What's the code on the Magic Mind?
So don't forget, y'all, you have a limited offer that you can use right now that gets you 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with the code LiveAndInColor20 at checkout. Go ahead and click the link in our description and you'll be able to, you know, Get right there and purchase yours today. Don't forget that code, Live and in Color 20. Y'all get on a better path of full, natural, daily energy that you won't crash with, you know? Yeah. That's the important part. And you don't have to drink.
I appreciate you you ordering some for me, man.
Yeah, let me know when you get it. It'll be there today. I've already checked the tracking on it. So.
All right. Well, I'll be looking.
All right.
I'll be looking and I'll be cooking. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Got a good guest lined up. As long as it comes through, you're going to love it. See you then.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you a pro wrestling fan? Well, stop by Captain's Corner, where you can get autographed photos, cards, magazines, and figures from all of your favorite wrestling superstars of the past, present, and future. You'll also be able to participate in live signings in the weeks and months to come. Make sure to stop by Captain's Corner on Facebook and give us a holler. Remember, cheers to the working man.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth, still livin' in color. Don't rush your mother, utilize a hubcap, I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times, tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine.
You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from over on board data. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You sucker, step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Whoopi D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
We got a cap for your dome. We got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.